For those that came in late, the little red love envelopes in your bulletin, as Scott shared earlier, the youth are looking to purchase a camera that's able to take videos and pictures for the youth group to do some stuff. So they're looking to raise some funds. So that's what that envelope is for. So if you feel led, pray over it. See if the Lord puts it on your heart to share and give and support this youth ministry. And we're just excited about what God's doing with our youth. And next week, the youth are going to be preaching. So it's going to be a nice time. They're going to be excited about that. And I'm just so thankful also for as a church whose vision is to equip the body, people are stepping up and being equipped. I thank Bill for stepping up for the first time in many, many decades in front of people doing what he did. And we're going to continue doing more of it, Bill. So we thank you for your faithfulness. I want to say thank Sue Noe. For those of you that don't know, Sue has been setting up her communion for many years now. And her mom used to do it beforehand. But Sue has accepted the position of communion director officially this week. So now we have someone stepping into that ministry who's going to equip and train someone else to do it as well. So we just praise God for those things. Today's this very special day. But first, I want to ask Barbara to come down. Come on down, Barbara. For those of you that don't know, Barbara, this is her last Sunday with us as she is leaving the wonderful Garden State of New Jersey to greener pastures somewhere else. Indiana, correct? Or Wisconsin? Wisconsin. So we just want to pray over her, and we want to bless her and the journey that and the next season that God has for her. And so would you join me right now? Just reach out your hand from where you are as we just pray and bless her. Yeah, Lord, we just anoint her. Barbara's feet this morning as she begins to take this new journey into this new season of her life. We thank you, God, for what you are doing in her life and what you are doing through her, Lord God, right now. We give you the glory, and we ask that, Lord, that you keep that promise that we know you are faithful to keep, that you order the steps of your righteous. So may you order her steps as one who has been clothed in the cloak of salvation and the robe of righteousness, who is in right standing with you, Lord God, that as she walks in the footprints you've already outlined for her, and that you would bless her in these things. And that, Lord God, as she enters this new season, there shall be doors open beyond her measure. And, Lord God, you will just help her step into her destiny, Lord God, the next phase of life that you've called her into and what you have prepared for her. May everything she needs, from her resources to people around her, intercessors around her, a team of warring Christians around her, Lord God, to a church family that will embrace her and walk with her, God, as she walks with them in the vision you've called her and them to. So we ask, God, that this season she enters shall be fruitful for your kingdom in her life and those around her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you, Barbara, and we are going to miss you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. Now, on that note, I want to, Jerry back there has been, Barbara's been his ride to church for the last year and a half, 2 years. If somebody would step up and would like to help out and give Jerry rides to church Sunday mornings, it would be so tremendously appreciated. We know he lives in Fairhaven area, Rumson, Fairhaven area, so it is a trek. But if you feel on your heart to do that, please come see me or see Jerry today. But right now, the children 5 and under are going to be dismissed. But for the rest of us, would you stand? And let's give God glory for his world, for his word. Children older than 5 are going to stay in service today. Give God glory for his word. Would you raise your Bibles with me? Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it even penetrates our soul, dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have a very special guest speaker today. We have Michael Lombardo and his lovely wife, Selena, and their beautiful daughter. And Mike and I first touched base when he returned from being on a mission trip in Mozambique. Uh-huh. He's got a very similar story and history to what Bobby Jr. He's graduated from CFNI in Dallas, Texas, and then went on mission to Mozambique, where Bobby Jr. is right now. So there was a connection there. And then, would you know, we were at a conference in Pennsylvania last month. And I think the last official day of the conference, mm-hmm. you know, there's 3,000 people in this conference room. And I go sit in not a spot where we normally sit, but towards the back. And I'm sitting there and I see this guy in front of me who's just getting there, and I'm looking at his name tag, and I'm going, it says Michael Lombardo, and I'm going, I know him from somewhere. So out of all people, ran into him for the first time, seeing him face to face after talking on the phone a couple times, and we connected, and he joined us as we prayed for New Jersey, as we began to build a team that prays for the state of New Jersey. And we've been just coming together in many ways, and we love, absolutely love. Tiff and I, when we had dinner with him a couple of weeks ago, we love he and his wife's passion for the Lord, like-minded, like-hearted, kingdom-minded. Mm. Absolutely fired up for the Lord, and we just connected, and we just loved their heart for him, and we just knew we had to have him come and share. And it just so happened to be this weekend where yesterday we were a part of the Relay for Life with Tom Borelli, and we had a wonderful time, and it just worked out perfect where we were busy doing that we were able to have someone else cover, and more than cover, he's going to be a blessing. But you know what, Lord did some major things yesterday. For those that were not there, we got there early, Maureen, Lexi, myself, Tiffany, Tom and Sharon, and Abby were there. Abby did the national anthem in front of everyone, did a wonderful job. Sharon shared something she wrote. I got a chance to do the opening ceremony. And more than anything else, Lexi and Tiffany helped set up. And we connected with people. That was the coolest part of it all. And it was a long day, and it was a tiring day. So I'm grateful Michael's able to come be here today. But I know he's more than just filling in. He's going to fire you up today. Presence of God is already in this place. And we're about to take it up another notch. So Michael, come and thank you for being here.
How's everybody doing? Good. I'm happy to be here. Is this thing working well? Good, 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 good. Okay, so like Pastor Michael said, my name is Michael Lombardo. First of all, I'm just grateful and I'm honored to be here today sharing with you guys. I just want to say, from the moment I walked into this building, the life and the love that is in you guys is just tremendous. You guys are so welcoming and loving and humble. I just see it on you guys, just emanating from you. So I'm grateful to be among believers like you guys today. Amen? Okay, so my beautiful wife is right there, Selena. Our little baby is sleeping. Her name is Selah. And there's actually an amazing story. Maybe I should share a little bit of it. I was in the Philippines. Like I said, okay, I was working in Mozambique with Iris Global. And then I went home for a period of time, and God called me to go to the Philippines for a month. I got invited to minister at a youth conference to do some evangelism and things like that. So I went there, and there were some open doors that came to me. I got invited to go to Thailand. I got invited to go to a few other places. But, I wasn't exactly sure what to do. So I got alone with the Lord, and I just laid it all at his feet. I just told him, Lord, there's many open doors, but what open door do you have for me? And I just came to a place of neutral in my heart, and I just said, if it's this place, great. If it's not, great. Just lead me, guide me. And I just surrendered everything to him in that moment. And then that night, I had a dream that I was back in Mozambique with Iris Global. And I thought to myself, wow, like that's something. So I looked up on the computer, you know, the mission school that was going on, and they said that we're in desperate need of guys to staff and to help be a leader in the school. So I was like, all right, this is definitely a Jesus thing. So I go back to Mozambique as a staff to help lead the school, and Selena is actually there as a student to come be a part of the school. So God knows how to lead us, amen? I was gonna go in one direction, and then God led me in another direction, and I wound up meeting my wife. So that's a wonderful thing. And little Selah right there, actually before I met my wife, I had a dream that I had a little girl. And this little girl and I, we were on the missions field. I don't know where we were. It was some really hot place in some other part of the world. And I like to walk around. Is that okay? I like to walk around and get active. So in this dream, I had this little girl, and she was walking around, and she was moving in the things of the Spirit. She was praying, and she was prophesying. And I picked her up in the dream, and I just started swinging her around. And when I woke up, I just felt the sweet and tangible presence of God. And I just said, that's my daughter. I'm going to have a daughter one day. And in the dream, she was about 6 or 7 years old. And then later, I was speaking with some friends, and this person said, wow, Selah would be such a beautiful name for a girl. And I thought to myself, wow, that's my daughter's name. You know, Selah is found in the scriptures. In Hebrews, it means to ponder, to reflect, to meditate on God and the glory of God. It's a musical term. It speaks of transition between verses. But so I was like, wow. And then when I went to Mozambique, and I was praying about her, because I saw her, and I was like, you know what? I like her, Lord. I was like, I like her. She's good looking, we get along, and she loves Jesus with all of her heart. That's what I'm talking about. So there was chemistry, we really connected, and I was praying about it. And again, I went to the Lord, and I said, God, you know, I like her, but if it's her, great. If it's not, and I just came to that place of surrender and neutral again. And once I did that, I said, God, I want a confirmation. I really did, because Selena was going back to the States and I was going to Cambodia. So, and she was praying about coming back as a staff member with me. So there was some tension there. We needed to talk to leadership if we were going to be in a relationship and all that stuff. So me and Selena were doing a little worship together one night. And that same night where I prayed that prayer of surrender. And I after the song, I said, Selah, just because the presence was so strong. And I just said, Selah, out loud. And Selena looked at me and she goes, that's my daughter's name. And I looked at her and I got awkward. I didn't say, will you marry me? You know, like I did, like Jesus told me about you. No, I didn't do that. In my heart, I wanted to a little bit, but I was just like, wow, I didn't know what to do. And I just moved on with the conversation. And I just knew that was God's confirmation to me that she was the one for me, that he was blessing it. And everything like that. So, and then we got married, and then people kept coming up to us in church. I was in church one day, and this guy said, the girl's coming first. The girl's coming first. Some prophetic guy. And we were like, well, you know, the Lord keeps prophesying, you know, about a little girl. And then there was other words, like just people kept speaking about this little girl that we were going to have that was going to love the Lord, and that was going to have the same heart for missions and the same heart for Jesus as us. So when me and my wife, we went to Cambodia and we got married, and she got pregnant while we were there, like the first or second month we were there. So my wife is a champ, first of all. I just want to applaud my wife. She is just amazing, because we were riding on a motorbike in 100-degree weather in Cambodia with crazy drivers everywhere, and she would be behind me speaking in tongues, praying. I heard her, because there'd be motorbikes coming at you like 40, 50 miles per hour. No one's following the speed limit or anything like that. But she's tremendous, and we're thinking, man, if God gives us a boy first, he'd have a sense of humor. You know, deep down, we wanted to be okay if it was a boy, you know, but like there was so much build up with a girl that we were like, oh, okay, God, you know, we tried to. But then when we had our first sonogram over there in Cambodia, and we saw the little, like a little peanut, you know, we saw our little hands, and then we had to wait a couple weeks for another sonogram, and they told us it was a girl. We were so excited. And the Cambodian doctor didn't really speak much English, so he actually said, it's a male. And we're like, it's a male? It's a boy? And he's like, no, excuse me, female. And I was just like, maybe we should check that when we go back to America. I don't know. I don't know if he's. So anyway, our beautiful little girl is here, and she's so sweet. So I'm happy to be here. I just want to share a couple things that were in my heart during worship. First of all, your name, we prayed over you. Barbara? Can you stand up for a second? I'm sorry to call you out, but I really just feel, when we were praying over you, I just heard that scripture, rejoice, O barren woman, and I felt like when they were praying for you, that God is just birthing something in you in this season. And you may have had questions, like God's moving you into something, and maybe you're a little bit unsure, like what exactly is God going to do here? But I just saw such a fruitfulness in your life in this upcoming season, and that God is just a rear guard. He is the fire around you, and He is the glory in the midst, and I just want to release that over you right now in Jesus' name. I just thank you, Father, that you are birthing something in her so powerful of you, and I just thank you that your glory is surrounding her, Lord. I just thank you that you are behind her and that you go before her and that you're preparing that path, just like Pastor Michael said. I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her heart and what you're doing in her life. May your will be done and may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven for Barbara. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I'm going to grab my water bottle right here. And another thing that God spoke to me is, you guys are called Bayshore Christian Fellowship, right? I saw in the spirit like a bay, like a body of water. And I just thought, this is so prophetic. And I just saw you guys just swimming around. I felt like God was saying, you've tasted, you've seen, you've experienced some beautiful things, and you guys are hungry for more, but God is taking you deeper than you've ever been before. As you yield and you say yes and your heart remains hungry, God is just taking you into deeper waters because He doesn't want us just to swim around. He doesn't want us just to dip our toes. He wants us to be fully submerged in His Spirit. That's that life of just being overwhelmed and aware of God at all times, where we're hearing His voice and we're in communion with Him and we're being led and we're able to prophesy, we're able to speak life, we're able to give life to the people around us. And God is just bringing you guys to a whole nother level of faith and awareness to see more than ever before in Jesus' name. And then I thought of that scripture, you know, I think it's in John 5 or John 6, where it talked about the pool of Bethesda. And I just felt like as you guys just worship the Lord like you did today, exalting Christ, just worshiping Him, keeping Him central, as your hearts remain hungry, I just see this place just being like the pool of Bethesda, that as new people and as outsiders come into this place, because God wants to bring new people into this place, God wants to bring outsiders, that you guys keep reaching out, right? Because we don't stay in this building, we share Christ with those around us. As you guys minister and you bring people into this place, it's going to be a place of healing. In Jesus' name, where people experience the healing that they've needed for years, where people receive a word from God that they've been needing for years, where bondages break off people that have been hanging on to them for decades. God wants this place to be that pool. And it's already here, but I'm saying there's an increase of it as you worship, as you glorify. He's enthroned upon the praises of His people, like Pastor Timothy, like she said today, let us exalt Him in the praises of His people. So, amen. I just thank you, Father, for this glorious church, that your fullness is already in this place, because we have the fullness of the deity with us, Lord. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I just thank you for the fullness of your presence here, and that the manifest glory of God would just increase upon this house, and that you would just bring your fire in their hearts to just go out to reach their neighbors, to reach those as they go to the grocery store, to reach friends and family, to fill this house, Lord, with newcomers and with outsiders, and I just thank you that this would be a place of healing, a bay of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I have a word to share today, but this morning God began to highlight a few things to me. He began to speak to me about revelation. And when Christ is revealed, our hearts begin to burn. Like it says in Luke 24:32, on the road to Emmaus, it's eat, it's okay, don't worry about it. This is great. So on the road to Emmaus, two disciples, or they were believers, but they were in a bad place because Jesus just died and everyone was confused, right? So they were walking and Jesus was with them, but he was concealed. And then later on, Jesus broke bread, which is very prophetic of his body being broken. And then he appeared. They saw him for who he was. And when they were talking to each other, and they said, man, did not our hearts burn when this Christ was revealed, when he was opening up the scriptures to us? So as Christ opens up the scriptures to us, as Christ is illuminated in our lives, in our minds, not only through the scriptures, but through rhema words, because he lives on the inside of us, through believers, through each other, Christ can be revealed. And as this takes place, our hearts begin to burn with passion for Jesus. And I just believe that God wants to bring an unveiling here. Just like Paul prayed in Ephesians. He said, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would enlighten your hearts, that you may know the hope of your calling, the inheritance in the saints, and the great power that is available to us as believers. So there's that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I pray all the time, I'm like, Holy Spirit, enlighten my heart. Make my heart soft to you. Open up my ears to hear your voice. Open up my eyes to see in the Spirit, that we would be a sensitive people, that we would know his heart in that way. We would know when he's moving in one direction, and we would know when he's moving in another direction, that we'd have that keenness and that sensitivity to him. And I want to read a scripture here in Colossians. You guys don't need to open up to it. I'll probably quote a lot of scriptures here today, but I'm just going to let you know it's Colossians 3, 3 and 4, and it says this, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." And when I was reading that scripture this morning, I was thinking to myself, wow, when Christ is revealed, then we are also revealed. When we see Christ for who he is, Christ in us then becomes unveiled and revealed before us. As we look to him, we see ourselves for who we really are. We begin to know who we are from his perspective, how he sees us. So as we see this beautiful Christ, we also are able to see Christ in us, our authority, our destiny, who we are in him. So we're revealed together. And yes, I believe the scripture is speaking about the day when Christ returns and we're lifted up with him and we're completely conformed into his perfect image and likeness. But I believe this is a principle to this day relevant for believers right now, that as we gaze upon him, then we're also able to see who we truly are, and Christ in us is revealed. And then in 1 John 3:2, it says this, "Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." I love that scripture. As we gaze upon him, as we see him in the scriptures, as we see him in believers around us, as we see him in the secret place, then we begin to manifest the Christ life that we were meant to live. We try to change ourselves and our own efforts, and that's not how it works. We focus on our performance, we focus on what we're doing, and we try to change ourselves in our own abilities, and that's not how we become changed. We become changed by looking at Christ. We become changed as the Holy Spirit unveils the scriptures to us. We become changed when we see Jesus. And that's when we begin to reflect that image, the image of Christ. We're being progressively conformed into who Jesus Christ is. As we know who we are based on the Word of God, and as we get to know intimately this Jesus. Just like Pastor was saying today, we don't know of him. That's not the point here. The point is to know him intimately. And that's what that word means when it says the knowledge of God. I love that this morning because that is so true. So revelation. For me, my first encounter with God, I grew up in church, just like maybe some of you guys did. Grew up in church. I knew of God. My mom, she was a strong believer. I think at 20-something years old, she became a believer in Christ. And she was on fire. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how old I was, but I remember her praying in tongues over me every night, praying over me, speaking the scriptures. That was just my mom. And my dad, he was a religious man. You know, we'd go to Catholic church. And my mom would go too because my dad didn't want to go to any other church. And she would go to her meetings on Wednesdays. And, you know, she would teach us of the Lord separately. But my dad, he more went to church to be in God's favor. You know, he wanted God to bless him and things like that. So it was religion. It wasn't a relationship. And then when I was 14 years old, my father went through a really hard time with his construction company. He always had a lot of money. You know, my dad was good financially. His company was always doing really well. He had no need or concerns for anything. And then the company started to go downhill, and he was like, what am I going to do? And my mom said, let me seize this opportunity here, because she was a believer by herself for 20-something years, almost 30 years, believing for her husband, believing for her children, standing alone in faith for every single one of us. So she was like, I'm going to seize this opportunity. So she started to open up Ecclesiastes to him, where it says, oh, vanity of vanities, I had all of this and it was worth nothing. And so she writes up a little salvation prayer for him, and he goes into his truck one morning and he just says, God, I need you. And he just starts to read the salvation prayer. And I'm telling you, my dad was a different person overnight. I was like, who are you and what did you do with my father? You know, we'd go to the movies every Sunday. We'd go out to eat a meal and then we'd be at the gas station. And I remember this time specifically because I was like, what's going on, my father? We were late to the movie because he had to tell the guy at the gas station about Jesus for like 20 or 30 minutes. And I remember thinking to myself, come on, Dad, like there's Christians and then there's you. Like you're on a whole nother level. Like you're a Jesus freak. What's your deal? And I remember at 14, I was starting to get lured into, you know, a pretty rough lifestyle. I met a kid from Keensburg, and we were doing some stuff that wasn't right. He introduced me to drugs and drinking and all this stuff. And so I remember making a vow in my heart saying, whatever these Christians are about, I want the opposite. I didn't want it. Church wasn't appealing to me. The religious picture I had of Jesus in my mind from growing up in a Catholic church and from being around believers but never having an encounter with God, it wasn't appealing. What the world had was more appealing. I was discipled by MTV. I would sit and watch it all day, and that was my discipleship program as a teenager. So I didn't know. My mother would tell me you could experience God, you could hear his voice, and thank God for my brother-in-law. My sister began to date a guy, and he was just real. He was down to earth. He didn't use words like the sanctification of the redemption of the repentance and the, you know what I'm saying? Like for me as a teenager, I didn't get it. Those words didn't make sense to me. My father would sit down and be like, body, soul, and spirit. And then the thing, and I'd be like, body, soul, and spirit? I don't understand. But Renee, his name's Renee, he would sit down with me and he'd be like, dude, I've been there. He's like, I grew up in Brooklyn. He's like, I was involved in this, I was involved in that. And then Jesus is real, man. He changed my life. He touched me. And I loved him. I remember thinking like, this guy's real. He's Jesus. He believes in Jesus, but I could relate to him. So there was times I'd come home trashed, just wasted. And it'd be 4 a.m, and Renee would be, I think they were, my sister was married at this point to him. They were at the house at 4 a.m, and I was like, man, so what's going on? Renee would be up, and then he would just listen to me. He would just hear me out. I would just unload. Yeah, but Christians, and then go to church, and what am I supposed to, oh man, what am I supposed to wear a suit, go to church, say amen, and live my life like this and that? And then he would just listen to me. And then he'd begin to share Jesus. A little bit. Just give me a little bit. A little bit. And I'm thankful for him, for the seeds that he's sown, and for my family, for the seeds that they sown in that time. But I came to a place where the sin that I was living in wasn't fun anymore. I was drinking, I was partying, but I was unsatisfied. I was broken. There was a void and it wasn't being filled. And instead of having fun when I was getting high, I was now getting all these thoughts in my head like, what's life all about? We're just getting high and we're just doing nothing with ourselves. I'm spending all this money for nothing. And what? When I get older, what happens? I work a job till I'm how old? 65, 70 years old, and then I die? Like, what's the purpose of life? And I know that I was getting those questions because my mother and my father were locking hands in prayer, speaking the word of God over me. They were saying, Michael, he's a man of God. He loves what you love. He hates what you hate. He's a warrior for the kingdom of God. Every morning they'd be speaking those things over me. And I began to just be unsatisfied. I wasn't happy anymore. It was the Holy Ghost. And I got into a couple really serious car accidents while I was intoxicated that I got out of with no scratch on me. And I had moments that I realized, this is God. He's operating in my life. But I wasn't ready because I knew that Jesus meant a life change. And I wasn't ready for a life change. So I tried everything. I tried more money. I tried more relationships. I tried more music because I liked playing music. I was like, but every time I got what I wanted, I was still just as broken and empty as before. So I began to be intrigued about this Jesus thing. And I said, if this God is real like everyone says he is, then I got to try this out. So I got in my room one day in a broken place, and I remember just crying and just being vulnerable before God. And I opened up the scriptures, and my eyes landed on the perfect scripture for me. It says, restrain your eyes from weeping. It was in Jeremiah. And it began to speak hope into a dark life. It began to speak restoration to a people that were in sin. And I just remember, I knew it was God speaking to me. It wasn't just a history book. It wasn't just knowledge. It wasn't just facts. It wasn't just a story. It was God speaking to me. And for the first time, I felt the presence of Jesus. The very presence of God. I felt tingles go down my spine. I felt the Father's embrace. It was real. It was tangible. I thought I was alone in the room, but I realized I was never alone. Even when I thought I was alone, he was always there. And for the first time, I heard God speak. And it wasn't a booming voice. It wasn't an angel and a trumpet. I'm telling you, there's powerful encounters in the Spirit, but this was a subtle one. I heard the Holy Spirit say on the inside of me, "Son." And I was like, "Son." Just that alone. He didn't need to say anything else. The God of the universe called me son. And then he said, "I have plans for your life." And right there, everything changed. When Christ was revealed, I was changed. It was that power of revelation when Christ is revealed, when the scriptures open up, that moment of encounter. And I left that room a changed individual, just like my father. I began to hate the things that God hated, and I began to love the things that God loved. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't perfect. There were still issues. There were still things hanging on. I left that room never to touch a drug again and never desiring to touch a drug again, and that was a miracle because I was doing drugs every day. But there were still some other things. There was a process as I began to just turn to Him and cling to Him and pray through some issues in my life. Those things began to fall off. Right? But I left a new individual. And that's what happens. That's what happens in the presence of God. Just like the disciples, when they saw Him, they left everything behind. There's something about this Jesus that when you see Him, when you feel Him, when you're in His presence, nothing else matters anymore. You can't live the life that you were living before. You have to have more of Him. And I left like, oh, that presence that I felt, I need to have more of this presence. I need to hear more from the scriptures. And I'm so grateful that one of my first encounters came from the Word of God, because I didn't read the Word from that day on to build up my doctrinal stances. I began to read this Word because I wanted to hear from Him. I knew that when I opened up this Bible that God was going to speak to me. I knew it, and that was where my faith was. That's where my expectation was. I say, oh, I really need to hear from God right now, and I would just open it up. And there it would be, something to encourage me, some kind of enlightenment, some kind of illumination from the scriptures. And I would just keep reading. I began to devour this thing. And, you know, one thing that I really want to emphasize is our calling, because we speak of our calling a lot, and a lot of the times we're speaking of our secondary calling, okay? Our secondary calling in life is the ministry that Jesus gave you. It's, you know, to do miracles. It's to be a blessing wherever you go. It's to evangelize. It's to be a pastor or whatever unique calling that God has placed on your life. That is our secondary calling. But our first calling is to know Jesus Christ. That's it. And when we know Jesus intimately and powerfully, then our secondary calling flows almost effortlessly. It becomes so natural. Heidi Baker, one of my heroes, says, all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. And we try to strive, we try to make things happen, we try to put together programs and do this and do that. But if we would just abide, and as we would just have that relationship where we're communing continually with Him, He'll begin to plant God-given dreams in our minds. He'll begin to impart the strength and the grace that we need to accomplish the missions that He set before us. A few years ago, I had a vision when I was in Bible school at Christ for the Nations. They were saying a young man went to Christ for the Nations and I was going to Mozambique. That is awesome. My life was changed at Christ for the Nations. When I got saved, the first worship CD I heard was a Christ for the Nations CD, and it was with Rick Pino and Carrie Job. And I was into hardcore music. That's the kind of music I liked. I liked heavy metal. I liked punk rock. Like, that was my music. So when I heard this CD and it was soft, melodic worship before the Lord, I remember I was just sobbing like a baby. And I thought to myself, who am I? What am I doing? I'm throwing out all my punk albums and I'm listening to Carrie Job sing a song of worship to Jesus, and I'm just like a puddle of goo before the Lord. And it became one of my favorite albums. And then I noticed that it was an institute from the CD cover. And then God began to speak to me about going to Christ for the Nations. And during that time, I'm telling you, I just said, you know what? I want to meet the right people. I'm not going to make friends. I want to make the right friends. I'm not going to get involved in all this crazy ministry stuff. Yes, I'll do ministry, but I want to know Jesus. I want to be prepared. I want to be equipped for my calling. So anyway, I go to Christ for the Nations, and God transformed me during that time. I'm so grateful for that school. It's a powerful place. And as I was there, God showed me a vision that changed my life. I share this vision often because I believe it just reveals something so unique. It reveals something that is so true. I saw a vision of Christ on the throne, but it was at a distance. It was far away. I couldn't make him out clearly, but I knew it was Christ on the throne. And coming from the throne was an army. And the army was coming forth. And I knew that this army was going out to do something, that there was a mission there. And it spoke to me in two ways. I'm sure there's more involved in it, but it spoke to me in two ways. And the throne room, to me, speaks of intimacy with God. Because it's a place of unhindered fellowship. Because we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:6. So if we're in Christ in the heavenly places, in the throne room of heaven, that means we have access to the Father at all times. And the scripture tells us that we have the same access to the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. So it speaks of me to me as a place of intimacy, as a place of fellowship. And then, because the army was coming forth from the throne of God, it speaks to me that there was a mission, that there was a commission that was taking place. So as we begin to know our God, and as this, our first purpose, begins to be established, then he begins to reveal to us our second purpose, the mission, the call of our lives. And in that call, we become equipped, we become strengthened, we become empowered with that grace to do what he's called us to do. So this is the beauty of our lives. Right now, I'm being challenged again. We came to New Jersey, we were on the missions field in Cambodia, and we were just focusing fully on missions. And now my wife and I, we're in New Jersey, I'm working a job Monday through Friday for a construction company, and it's taken up a lot of my time. And then God called me to write this book. It's in the back right there. I believe it's a prophetic message that will draw you into a deeper relationship with Christ. But I wrote this book, obedient to the Lord. I began to write, and a lot is going into that. So that's like a second job for me. And then I'm ministering on the weekends, but the last writing and ministering is what I love to do, but during the week I'm working construction, which is great. God called me to do that right now, but I'm very busy. I'm sure you guys are very busy. You guys are doing a lot, but it's easy to neglect the secret place. It's easy to not dive into the Word. It's easy to get overwhelmed with the responsibilities and the busyness of life, and I'm again learning what I've learned in the past. I'm relearning what God taught me. Has it ever happened to you guys before? Where God teaches you something, he reveals something to you, you walk in the power of it in one season, and then you get hurled into another season, and you have to learn that lesson all over again. You have to learn to abide again. You have to learn to be an encourager again. You have to learn how to walk in that humility again, because God's bringing you to greater places of honor. So you have to go deeper and deeper and lower still. So I feel like, oh my God, teach me again. I don't want to be, you know, exasperated. I don't want to be tired. I don't want to focus on the secondary calling and miss and neglect the first calling of just sitting at his feet and listening to his words. You know, and Martha and Mary, I feel like Martha gets a bad rap, right? Like Martha, we talk about Martha and Mary, and you know, Martha, she was busy doing a good thing. She was serving Jesus, right? He came over. And she was trying to make everything right for Jesus. She was trying to prepare a wonderful meal that he was going to enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, just staring at him. And Jesus says, this is the good part. This is the best thing. And this won't be taken away from her. So Martha was doing a good thing. She was serving Christ. But there's an even better thing. There's that place of being with him, that oneness, that unity of spirit, that place of being in love. In love. Not just loving him, but in love. Head over heels, undone, because you know his love for you and you have his presence in your everyday life. And man, sometimes, man, there's seasons of my life I felt like Mary, and there's seasons sometimes I feel like I'm slipping into a Martha. But God just keeps reminding me of that place of intimacy and union. And we all need to do that. We all need to do that. Because the power of God will flow from that place in your life. The fruitfulness will come from that place in your life. I want to talk about men and women of the high call. What time is it here? 12:34. There's some people in the scriptures that really speak to me. Moses speaks to me pretty powerfully. Because if anybody didn't want to be in the promised land, if anybody wanted to get into the promised land, and wanted to get out of the wilderness, it was Moses. The Israelites wanted to get out, but Moses really wanted to get out. He had to lead these people. He had to deal with their grumbling. He had to deal with their complaining. He had to lead millions of people into a land of promise. He had to trust God. He had to believe God when no one else believed God. Moses wanted to get into that land flowing with milk and honey. He did. But in Exodus 33, it's one of my favorite sections of Scripture. If you could read through Exodus 33, I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. There's so many powerful truths in there. But in Exodus 33, God's upset because the people keep complaining, and they keep struggling and wrestling against Moses and his way. And, you know, Moses is like, you know what? God, help, pretty much. He's calling out to God. And the Lord pretty much says, you know what? I'm going to send an angel. I'm angry with these people too. I'm going to send an angel to go before you. I'm not going to go, but you're going to go into the promised land. And you know what? An angel's going to go. Don't worry about it. You're going to get the promise. The promise is going to be there, but I'm not. And Moses looks at him and he's like, Lord, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. He cared more about the presence of God than even the promise of God. He said, Lord, I want your presence. Lord, show me your glory. And then God goes, okay, I'll show you my glory. He's like, here, hide in the rock. And the rock is a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ. That's a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. And God says, first, you need to be in the rock before you can see my glory. First, you need to be in Christ before I can show you my glory. And he puts Moses in this spot, in the rock, and the glory passes by Moses. But Moses goes, I want your glory, I want your presence more than I want a promised land, more than I want comfort, more than I want luxury, more than I want to get away from these grumbling, complaining, ungrateful Israelites. I want you. He was a man after God's own heart. And just like Joshua as well, in the same chapter, you see it in Joshua. It's so amazing. You see that when Moses would go to the tent of meeting, he set up a tent where God would come in his glory, and that when Moses showed up at the tent, the glory of God would show up at the tent. And that speaks something to me right there. The Bible says that Moses was a friend of God, and the friends of God carry the glory of God. Those who are intimate with him, those who are yielded, those who have their heart set upon him, the friends of God, the glory of God rests upon them in a tangible way. And when Moses went to that tent, the glory of God came. And then all the people were gazing at Moses, and they would approach the tent, and they would encounter God, and they would worship corporately there. But when Moses left, it says the people would leave also. But you find something very spectacular right there at the end of that little section. It says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, lingered long in the presence of God. So when Moses left, the Israelites left. But Joshua said, no, I've got to stay here. He was soaking in the residue of that glory that was abiding in that place. He didn't care about anything else. And when I was at Christ for the Nations, I remember ministers would come in with a powerful anointing, and they would share and share. And it was the class right before lunchtime. And I remember everyone would race out to get on the lunch line, right, after the ministry was over, because they wanted to get to lunch, and rightfully so. There was a long line who wanted to wait in it. But then there was this group of people that just didn't really care about lunch too much on certain days, when the presence of God was just so strong, that they would just be on their face. Some would be on their face. Some would be laughing and rolling around in the Spirit. Some would be just soaking their Bible in tears. And I remember thinking, like, these are the Joshuas. These are the ones that everyone else is running off to get lunch. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with eating lunch. But they sensed that there was something more that God wanted to do. They couldn't easily withdraw from that place. They had to sit there, and they had to soak there. And they had to receive from the hands of mercy and grace whatever Jesus wanted to give them. And to me, that scripture is also insight into why God chose Joshua to lead the people into the promised land when Moses died. Wow, right? He was a person that loved God, adored God's presence, and God's searching eye said, him. That's the one who's after my heart, the one who knows me, the one who wants me more than anything else. He's the one. And when we have that same heart after God, the Lord can entrust us with large missions, like leading millions of people into a promised land to conquer all the enemies that were there. It wasn't like they got in there and they were like, wow, praise God, we're here, and let's just set up shop and get into our homes. They had armies to conquer. There was enemies there. There was specific commands that God gave them that weren't easy to accomplish. But God chose Joshua for this large task. It's that place of intimacy with him. And I feel like it's easy for us to attend church, and it's easy for us to go through the motions, and it's easy for us to just continue with our lives and not have that fresh presence in what we do. It's easy for us to just be busy with the responsibilities of life, to drive from, you know, to work, to the grocery store, to do the laundry, to take care of the kids, and just kind of lose sight of him. It's really easy. But I believe God wants to just pour out a fresh sense and awareness of who he is on you guys here today. Because he's with us. He's in us. We don't need to pull him down, Ephesians says. He's Christ in us. He is in our mouths. He is in our hearts. He's not God aloof in the cloud somewhere. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory. You can't get any closer than that. The God we seek is here. We don't need to go too far. We don't need to go to a church building, even though this is a beautiful place of community where the saints all come together and there's a fullness that manifests where we could encourage and be a blessing, but he's everywhere. He's in the bathroom and you're in the bathroom. He's in the car when you're in the car. He's at your job, in your cubicle, when you're working. He wants to take your secret place with him, and he doesn't want it to just be isolated to a prayer closet. He doesn't want it just to be isolated to a prayer room. He wants to saturate every area of your life with his sacred presence. Every area. When you're walking your dog, he wants to speak to you. When you're driving in your car, he wants to pour out life on you. When you're walking into this building, before you even get in, he just wants to wham, just hit you with a rhema word from heaven. That's our God. That's him. The fact that he is in us, and that was his will and his desire, that he said, I don't want to live in a house, a man-made structure, but I want my home to be inside of people. The very fact that he did that proves that he wants to be with us, invited into every area of our lives, communing with us, speaking with us, and his influence a part of everything that we do. When you're with your grandchildren, when you're at the mall, everywhere. I spoke at a young adult's at a Faith Fellowship in Sayreville, New Jersey, a couple weeks ago. And I remember I was preparing a word because there was a lesson on the will of God. And I have some stuff I put together on discerning the will of God. And I was like, maybe I'll share that. And then I remember I was driving with my boss, okay? We were driving back from New York because I drive him around. I'm his assistant. So I drive him from place to place. And we're driving back from New York. And my boss is as worldly as it gets, okay? This guy is worldly. And I'm driving, and God begins to download the message to me, driving from New York. He just completely changes what I was going to share, and he just begins to unveil scriptures to me. I remember it was like, pop, 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 pop. I kind of felt like popcorn. Or it was just kind of like, pop, 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 this scripture, that scripture, why this, and this connects to that, and this and that. And I remember thinking, like, I didn't spend 2 hours in a prayer room to get that message. I wasn't expecting to get a message right then and there. I was just driving home with my worldly boss next to me, and I was having an encounter with Jesus. And it was a prophetic word for the young adults of that time. We were thinking, like, God, you're not separate from us in any way. There's this Gnosticism that has crept into the church. And Gnosticism is it's such a lie from the evil one that says that there's whatever is spiritual is good, and whatever is natural is evil. So we think that music is evil. A lot of people, a lot of churches think that music and instruments are evil. We think that, you know, having one, you know, the use of alcohol and just in, like, you know, a beer is evil. We think that, I don't know, if we're not praying continually, if we're not always interceding for the nations, you know, that we're not being spiritual. And a lot of the generals of the past have struggled with the same thing. They would neglect their families, they would neglect their wives and their children, and they would focus so much on ministry because they felt like that was honoring God. But they completely missed the glory of God on marriage. They completely missed the glory of God in raising children and being a father and loving well. They missed that. But God, he wants to saturate your life. He wants to speak to you through your grandchildren, through your children. God is with our little kids. I look at my daughter, Selah, and I just see Jesus all over her because Selah is his daughter first. Jesus is everywhere, and that's why he said we need to have eyes to see. He's everywhere. In Isaiah, I believe it's 6, the holy angels of God were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, for his glory has filled the earth. His glory has covered the earth. That means that his glory is all around us, everywhere that we go. This earth has his fingerprints all over it. The glory of God is everywhere at all times. But those who have an ear to hear will hear. Those who have eyes to see will see. I want to see Christ in my baby. I want to see Christ in this pastor. I want to see Christ in every single one of you guys. Man, amen. Jesus, make us more aware. Give us a greater revelation of Him. I want a greater revelation of Jesus. Without revelation, our hearts won't burn. Without revelation, we'll just get stale. We'll just settle for religion. We'll settle for the motions. Our first love will grow faint. And you know what? When I first got saved and I was passionate for the things of God, someone said to me, "Oh, you're on fire now, but wait for 6 months. You know, things get a little more real then." And I remember, thank God, I didn't believe that lie. I said to myself, no, the Bible says glory to glory. The Bible says faith to faith. The Bible says there's more and there's more and there's more. We're going from strength to strength. And I said to myself, no, I refuse to believe that, sir. I'm sorry, I love you and I honor you, but I will not believe that. And a friend of mine told me that someone said that to him when he first got saved, and he believed that lie. And he wound up falling back into a place of just no passion, no zeal for the things of God anymore. We can't believe those lies. There's a first love passion, and we could just continually grow in that first love. It never needs to diminish. It never needs to wane. We could just keep increasing and increasing and increasing in our passion for Jesus. And if it has waned, there's no condemnation for you. If you feel like it has waned, there's no condemnation for you. There's a fresh flame. There's a fresh touch. The Holy Spirit just wants to touch that area of your life, that place of hardness in the heart. He wants to soften it with His oil, the Holy Spirit oil. He wants to soften it. He wants to massage it. He wants to make your heart soft and tender to Him again. So, Lord, I just thank You right now. We just want a revelation of who You are. Just give this time to Jesus right now. Let's just set our hearts. Let's just focus our attention and our hearts on Him right now. You could be sitting there, arms up, arms down. It doesn't matter. Let's just focus our gaze upon Jesus. Look upon Him. See Him. See Him. See His eyes. It says in the book of Revelation that there's fire in His eyes, and that fire is not judgment. That fire is burning passionate love. That fire is desire. That fire is all-consuming zeal for His church, for the bride, for the world at large that are suffering and apart from Him. Do you see tenderness in His eyes today? I just see Jesus holding a bowl, and in that bowl is water. And that water, I believe, is symbolic of refreshing. And in the book of Acts, it says that times of refreshing come from His presence. I believe God wants to pour out refreshing on your heart today. Pour out refreshing. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We thank You that You are here right now. Holy Spirit, I just see Him just flowing through the aisles, just resting and hovering upon areas of our heart that need His healing touch, hovering on areas of your heart that need a fresh wind, that need a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't worry about anybody next to you. It's just you and Jesus right now. It's just you and Jesus. Thank You for Your glory here, Father. Increase Your glory here, Papa. Increase Your glory. Thank You, Jesus. For anyone here who has never encountered Jesus in a way that was vibrant, a way that was living, a way that brought transformation to your heart and to your life, I just pray right now, nobody's eyes are open, everyone's eyes are closed. I just pray that you would raise up your hand right now if you want a fresh touch, or if you want to encounter Jesus for the first time. I just want you to raise your hand right now. Thank You, Jesus, for that hand. Lord, I thank You that You're right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank You. Touch Him right now, Holy Spirit. Thank You. Open up His heart. Open up His heart. Thank You for sensitivity in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. God's speaking to people here in this place right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. I just thank you for fire. The Holy Spirit. That his heart would be tuned into you, Papa. More Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus. Show him that you're real. Show him who you are. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm sorry. And the children here. There's some children here, right, in the back? I'd like to pray for the children. Can I do that? Be all right? The little guy in the back who's raising his hand. All the young kids here, just come up here. You guys do not have a small version of the Holy Spirit. He is with you guys. Yeah, you're good right here. You're good right here. All the little ones. Yeah, baby, you want to come up here too? Bring mamas. Bring Selah, yeah. Yeah, Selena has a tremendous heart for orphans, for children that are broken. She wants to have a, we want to have a children's home. That's a huge passion in her heart in a poor country of the world. Her heart is for kids, so this is perfect for you to do that, babe. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Michael, for holding the baby.
Hold your baby.
Bring her up as well. Amen. Well, we just thank you, baby. Do you have something in your heart? You want to lead it? Okay. There's a what? Oil. Okay, yeah, perfect.
Thank you for coming.
You're a champ, thanks.
Loud mic.
It's just oil. We're not going to dump it on you. Don't worry.
Put a little bit. Just extend your hands out like this. Yeah. Okay.
Jesus loves you guys so much. He does. And he wants to be a part of your life in a powerful way. And we're praying for you because you are amazing young people. You are amazing. God could even use you at your age right now to be an encouragement, to help people around you, to be an influence to other people in this world. There's such a humility in this child right here. There's such a sweetness about him. Lord, I just thank you for the sweetness and the humility of this child, that there's an innocence and such a purity in him. I just thank you, Lord, that you're keeping him. You're able to keep us from stumbling. You are keeping him, Lord. That your angels, I see angels with this young boy. Jesus, I even see supernatural things for you. Whew, just like William Branham, there was an angel, and then the angel brought forth miraculous powers. And I just thank you, God, for the angel of God that is with him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just thank you that even one day, Lord, that you're teaching him like Samuel right now to be a child in the presence, just like Samuel to be raised in the presence of God. And I just thank you that as he grows up, Lord, that he'll be so sensitive to you and that you're going to use him in a powerful way, Lord, for miracles to see life change for the gospel of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Look at these young guys.
Yeah. What's your name? Michael. Paul.
Michael, that's an awesome name. That's my
Joshua.
Name.
Joshua.
You know
what
that?
Awesome, and Noah, right?
Noah. Yeah.
Okay. We just thank you, Lord, for these beautiful children. We cover them right now by the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We cover them in every area of their lives. We thank you, Lord, for giving them every spiritual blessing, every in every way, God.
Thank you.
From their head to toe, from healing, God, to intelligence, to favor, to strength and grace. We thank you, Lord, right now. We just cover them. We thank you, Jesus, that even right now, God, as they've come forward, that their hearts are yours, that their hearts are dedicated to you, that the enemy cannot snatch them, that they would not look to the right or to the left, God, but their eyes would be fixed on you, Jesus, that they would fall in love with you, Jesus, that they would encounter you, God, in their sleep, in their dreams, through the world, God, even as they walk, that they would hear your voice, God. Mm-hmm. We open up their ears to hear your voice right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord, for their voice, that they would know they have a voice to speak, God, to speak your words, that you would reveal your heart to them and that they could reveal your heart to the world.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord, that you're revealing your heart right now to them.
I just heard two words over you guys. I heard over you, influencer. That God's going to use you as a tremendous influence, that people are going to look to you. People are going to look up to you. Young people and people your age, they're going to be drawn to you. And that's a good thing, but also could be used in a bad way sometimes, because if we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, then we could influence people in a bad way. But if we're doing things that we should be doing, then we're influencing people in a good way, right? So there's a huge responsibility on it, but I just thank you that you're an influencer and God's going to bless that right now in Jesus' name, that you're going to use it for good. And I just thank you for this young guy. I heard a warrior over you. Just like Michael the archangel, he was the protector of Israel, and he's a warrior angel of God. I just thank you that you are a warrior, and you're going to see in your life that you're going to have a protective sense over people, that there's going to be people you love, and you're going to be very jealous and protective over them, because there's an anointing on you to be even, like Jesus said, he talked about being zealous for the house of God. He was zealous for the house of God, and I just feel like you're going to be a protector and zealous for the house of God. In Jesus' name, thank you for this warrior spirit. Let it be done. Amen. Thank you for Noah. Thank you for Noah. Thank you for Noah. Hallelujah. Thank you. A tool of righteousness in this generation. A tool of righteousness in this generation. A son of righteousness in this generation. Hallelujah. He will not compromise. I see an uncompromising spirit in him. That even when the world is compromising, he will not compromise. Because he knows his God, and he's going to do great exploits in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, an uncompromising spirit in Jesus' name. More kids. Okay, you're okay with her? She's good? Okay. Come on up. Come here, little guys. You can come. They can come up here, too.
What's your name, honey? Josiah?
Zachariah.
Awesome.
Annalena.
What a pretty name.
Christopher, oh, nice to meet you. Come forward, we're going to pray.
This is the new generation that God's raising up.
Put your hands
this
out
is powerful.
In front of you. Good. My glasses. Okay, yeah, just put your hands.
Whoever the parents are, make note of these words. I encourage whatever word is over Selah's life, I scribed it down to remember, to keep speaking life over them, to keep speaking those words.
Yeah.
It's recorded too? Perfect.
Yeah, awesome. Okay,
go ahead, Mama, if you have something.
Thank you, Lord. I just see such a gentleness over you like a butterfly, that you're just carried by the wind, that God's just going to carry you around, and you're just going to follow his voice and follow his steps. And all that you do, you'll be sensitive to him, sensitive to his voice, sensitive to people. Great compassion and love for people like Mother Teresa. I just thank you, Lord, for this heart, that you would guard her right now, that you, God, would keep her feet from stumbling, that you would keep her from falling, that you would lead her in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for her heart right now, that you would even expand it more, expand it to love more, to receive more from you, and to give more, in Jesus' name.
I just speak over these two kids right here. Are they brothers? Are they related? They are? Okay. This felt like James and John. Look at these young fireballs right here, sons of thunder. Hallelujah. And they had such a revelation of the love of God, but also they were just amazing apostles of Jesus. I just thank you, Father, that they are ministers of your word. Ministers of your word. Everywhere that they go. I sense that, Jesus, that one of them has more of a pastoral gift, and that one has more of an evangelistic spirit. Father, I just thank you. That their heart is for the lost and their heart is to equip the body.
Yeah.
I just pray, Lord, that they would know your will at a young age, that they would hear your voice at a young age, and they would walk in your ways in Jesus' name. And I just pray the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, just to overwhelm their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christopher.
Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. Has there been words over him at a young age already? He's very into church. Yeah.
Just like David. I just see just like David with his heart after God. With the heart after God. I just thank you, Lord, for worship. I thank you, Lord, for music that would come out of him. I thank you, Lord, for songs that you've predestined him to release into this world.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord, right now for the anointing of music right now over him. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that he would steward it well. I thank you, Lord, that he would have the boldness, that he would have the strength, God, to be a voice, God, in this generation, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you unashamed, to worship you, God, in the midst of so much turmoil, God, that he would have a heart set on you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you so much for letting us be here. I just want to pray one last thing over everybody here before I give it up to Pastor Michael. I just thank you for every person in this house. There's divine destiny on every single one of them. There's a marking and a seal of the Holy Spirit on every single one of them. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever attacks, I just even sense right now that there's been oppression on a few people here, a heaviness that may be attached to discouragement or doubt, and I just rebuke that in Jesus' name. I thank you for freedom from that, and there be a fresh hope imparted to the hearts of the people here in this place. Whoever needs that right now, just take it. Just take it as a word, a fresh hope, a fresh hope. No more discouragement, no more disappointment, no more wondering. I just thank you for an assurance to be established in their heart, a hope, a faith to be established in their heart, in Jesus' name. And I just thank you for more, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Michael and Pastor Tiffany. Thank you. With the baby. Hey, and you're good with babies too. I like that. Thank you for that.
Well, before you guys go, I just want to bless you guys. We want to pray over you and what God is doing in your lives.
What you did.
So, Father, we just thank you, God, for Michael and Selena and Selah. We just thank you, God, for the things you've called them to do. And Lord, we ask that you as well order their steps and open up doors that no man can close before you for them, Lord. Mm-hmm. As Father, they step into their ministry that you've called them to fully, Lord God, and just the future that you have prepared for them, Father, the anointing that is on them. And we just bless them with that anointing to go forward and just the glory of God, just like a the pillar of cloud that led the Israelites, that you would just lead them every step of the way. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Did you want to pray over the middle school kids?
Sure, yeah, I would love to.
What we're going to do, I'm going to, in a second, just bless you and dismiss you, but Michael and Selena, maybe over here, going to be over here. All the other children, they want to pray over them. All the middle school age kids, they want to pray over them. Please, come, even high school kids, you're welcome to come. Let them bless you and pray over you. Also, the book that Michael has written is in the back. You want to say anything?
Oh, yeah, okay. So the book is entitled Born for More, Experiencing God's Presence in Everyday Life. I believe it is a prophetic message that will just draw you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. God put it on my heart 7 years ago when I got saved. He told me I was going to write, and he told me in 7 years. And I didn't even like to read at that time, let alone write. But anyway, 7 years came, and God put that book on my heart. It's $15 in the back. You can pay with cash, or I do have an option for a credit card as well. So bless you guys. Thank you.
So would you stand with me? May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you, and may you walk in his love and in his peace intimately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace.